very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, November 29th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live this Sunday evening from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, the International Conference on AIDS and STIs in Africa 2015 started in Harare today at the International Conference Center. Side events are expected to be held concurrently with the meeting, with an outside event open to the public being held at Harare Gardens. World leaders, including President Robert Mugabe, converge in Paris for a crucial climate change summit commissioned by the United Nations.
Systems, they vary. We've got different system sizes. So systems vary from lighting only. Then another group of solar systems will be lighting and entertainment. Then the third group of how much energy is required is the lighting and entertainment as well as refrigeration. At each level, we require different amounts of equipment.
Despite the challenges of climate change affecting the farming season, some farmers say they are now resorting to the use of irrigation to ensure that they get a harvest this season.
The truth is there is such a thing as climate change, and it's not going to go away. Not only in Zimbabwe, it's throughout the world. There is climate change. So if you're going to go into agriculture, you have to really consider having irrigation on your farm, because the rains every year, the patterns are changing.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. The International Conference on AIDS and STIs in Africa 2015 started in Harare today at the International Conference Center. Side events are expected to be held concurrently with the meeting, with an outside event open to the public being held at Harare Gardens tomorrow. There is also expected to be a candle lighting march in remembrance of those that died of HIV/AIDS. The conference will discuss issues around increasing African leadership and ownership. It will also discuss efforts being made to invest in financing continental health response and promotion of the development and scale-up of evidence-based interventions for the HIV/AIDS and associated diseases in the post-2015 era. The conference comes at a time when the country has achieved many milestones in reducing the HIV/AIDS prevalence rate and the mother-to-child transmission rate. Despite these gains, the country is now facing challenges on how to consolidate the gains and use the human rights approach in the control and elimination of HIV/AIDS. ICASA board member Lois Chingandu tells us more on some of the events that will run concurrently with the conference.
On the 30th in the Harare Gardens, from morning up to lunchtime, there will be programs where we have taken the ICASA program into the community so they can also participate there. And then around the 3 in the afternoon, we are going to be having a march from the townhouse coming back to the Rainbow Tower to do what we call the Candlelight Memorial. And this is in memory of all those that have died of HIV.
That was ICASA board member Lois Chingandu in Harare. World leaders, including President Robert Mugabe, are currently in Paris for a crucial climate change summit commissioned by the United Nations. The use of solar energy as an alternative source of clean energy is expected to be high on the agenda of the meeting, with solar experts in the country hoping that Zimbabwe's participation will lead to government putting in place policies that encourage the use of solar energy. Solar expert Tendai Mukucha tells us more.
Systems, they vary. We've got different system sizes. So systems vary from lighting only. Then another group of solar systems will be lighting and entertainment. Then the third group of how much energy is required space, the lighting and entertainment, as well as refrigeration. At each level, we require different amounts of equipment. Like just for lighting, in terms of pricing, lighting can cost anything between $100 to $200 just to buy the equipment, depending on how many lights you need to power. Then going, if you include more appliances such as entertainment, basically we're talking about our TVs and our radios, decoders and the like. With the lighting included, the quotation for that would vary from anything around $800 right up to $1,300. So for that much, you are able to have some lighting in your house and be able to have your TV switched on for the greater part of the day and even at night. Then coming on to the third group of systems, which includes the lighting, the entertainment, as well as refrigeration. So here we're talking about the lights, we're talking about the TVs, the decoders, the radios, and the refrigeration, basically the refrigerator, the freezer, the deep freezers, and another form of refrigeration appliance. So for those systems, we are talking systems which are worth 2,500 going right up to 4,000. So these systems are majorly for domestic use only.
So can the solar system work in conjunction with ZESA? In places where ZESA sometimes comes, can you combine the two? How does that work?
Oh, yes, sure. For the solar systems, they can be installed as two different types of systems. The first system is called an off-the-grid type of a system. So off-grid, as the name says, it's off-the-grid. You're totally or completely independent of the grid supply. You don't need the grid supply for you to be sometimes running. You are completely detached from the grid power supply. So your system is independent. So that's an off-the-grid type of a system. The grid type of systems, these ones will be the ones which are connected to the grid. So this gives the option of having two power sources, the first one being the grid power and solar as a backup, or the other way around. So you can have the grid and the solar connected into the same system via what we call a changeover switch, which is basically a switch where you can select whether you want to be using grid power supply or you want to be using solar or any alternative source of power.
That was solar expert Tendai Mukucha of Exemplar Solar System in Bulawayo. Now we hear from a farmer in Marondera who says despite the challenges of climate change affecting the farming season, she has now resorted to using irrigation to ensure that she gets a good harvest this season.
My name is Renisa Mashumba. I'm a farmer in Zimbabwe. I think women in farming is not really an easy topic because I think most women are really in the primary production and you find few women actually running their own business. But I think the truth is, at the end of the day, farming is really a viable business and very enjoyable, and it's really something that you can do if you're looking to start a business. There are lots of challenges just like starting up any business, but I think when you overcome them, you really enjoy the rewards of just actually achieving the goal of actually just owning your own farm or your own piece of land, just seeing your crops grow, and just the ability to be able to actually supply supermarkets, to be actually able to actually make a difference in your country, in Zimbabwe, to be actually able to help with the food insecurity that is in Zimbabwe. So I think farming is really a career that someone can consider.
Judging from your own personal experience, you've been doing it for a while. What word of advice would you have for women out there who would like to venture into this career of farming? Because we've heard a lot of women, especially in the rural areas, saying the situation is very dire at the moment. The rains are not coming and they are unable to plant crops so they can feed their families. But what word of advice would you have for them?
My word of advice would be, the truth is there is such a thing as climate change and it's not going to go away. It's not only in Zimbabwe, it's throughout the world there is climate change. So if you're going to go into agriculture, you have to really consider having irrigation on your farm because the rains every year, the patterns are changing and you really need to consider even climate change. So I think if you are going to go into agriculture, really, you really need to do your research so that you do not get affected by the changes in climate that are happening every single year.
What kind of crops would you recommend for some people that are looking at this coming season to venture into, judging from what you're seeing in Zimbabwe at the moment?
Okay, so right now in Zimbabwe, there is a huge, huge market because most people are not farming because of the fear of that there's not going to rain. And generally, in Zimbabwe, we're just a market which is so much. There is a lot of potential to supply. If you go into any of our supermarkets, you'll find that half of the produce, or even more than half, is actually just imported from other countries like South Africa. So all those products actually need people to grow. The advice I'd give is there is a lot of things you can do. Before, obviously, you start, you can always do your market research so that you can see what is the most profitable for you and what, in terms of your budget, what can you afford to grow. But the potential is very, very huge.
That was Ruramiso Mashumba, a female farmer from Marondera. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930-13860 and 15460 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tsatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by Jimmy Wilford with a Say What. He's the director. Jimmy, thank you so much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you.
Of course, we are seeing here that UNICEF has released a new analysis saying that adolescent deaths from AIDS have tripled since 2000. They are saying that AIDS is the number one cause of death among adolescents in Africa and the second leading cause of death among adolescents globally. What's your reaction to this?
Well, obviously, the reactions are that it said these are early development, said data being shared with us by UNICEF, depending on how they collected this data. And it's unfortunate that this is also what is happening within our society and amongst the adolescents. However, it's also important to read in between the data to find out what is it telling us in terms of the work being done. What is it that we can be able to do?
And as you're saying, yeah, looking forward to some of the information coming from UNICEF, they're also saying that in sub-Saharan Africa, the region with the highest prevalence of HIV, girls are vastly more affected, accounting for 7 in 10 new infections among 15 to 19-year-olds. And they're also saying that only 1 in 10 are being tested for HIV. That opens up the question about, young people and HIV. Are they still taking it seriously?
Well, on that, like I always say, let's look at it from a different perspective. We are looking at young people. You know, when you are looking at the age group that you have actually highlighted, we are looking at young people who are being born HIV positive. So if there is that high prevalence of such young people, in my view, there is no problem. The problem comes maybe when you are looking at incidents. When you're looking at incidents, etc. But generally, it's true that Southern Africa is the hardest hit when you're looking at HIV and AIDS for various reasons. We cannot really point out to one fact, but there are quite a number of factors and some, interlinking features. So what it only means is that having such kind of information, stakeholders who are working within the public health sector, they just need to collectively work together and find some lasting solutions. Just like what is being done, say, let's end AIDS by 2030.
And moving forward, looking at this issue, there's also the question of the reproductive health of young people. There's this question of the issue of contraceptives and then also the issue of condoms in schools, in households, things like that. What's your take on that?
My take is that there is need for the school authorities, parents, and development partners to work together and understand each other. My view is that parents don't seem to understand the intention of those who are advocating for raising awareness amongst adolescents around issues to do with access to condoms, etc., or knowledge about condoms. Then the school authorities, they are also having a problem in really understanding what it really means, having high school students getting exposed to such kind of information. But in my view, I would like to make it very clear that people are perpetuating a fake conservative society that we have found ourselves to be like. You know, there is that sex taboo. We don't talk about issues to do with the sex and sexuality publicly with our kids, etc. But in the middle of the night or in other spaces, we are freely doing that and talking about it with other people who are not maybe our family members. So it's a high time, in my view, that we need now to break the silence around sex and sexuality and bring together these stakeholders and understand, make them understand each other.
And lastly here, Jimmy, looking at the issue of HIV, how are you working with young people who are HIV positive and also those who are HIV negative to deal with the issue of stigma and also to deal with if they are sexually active?
Well, our work is around the information sharing, where we want young people to make informed decisions about their life. They should know what it means to be HIV positive and know what it means to be HIV negative. How then can one live positively while you are negative? And how can one live positively while you are also positive? So the whole idea is creating those packages of information for the young people such that they make informed decisions. On the other hand, it's all about doing advocacy work within the community, the tertiary institutions, and even within the general community, where we are saying, let's now get rid of discrimination. Let's get rid of discrimination when we are looking at issues with HIV and AIDS. You know, being HIV positive, it doesn't mean that this person is unable to do anything that can be done by any human being.
And on that note, Jimmy Wilford, I want to thank you so very much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you, Rarenda.
That was Jimmy Wilford, the director of Say What, joining me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, make sure you join me next week.
Thank you, Tatenda Gumbo. Now we go to the music of Killa T with Amai.
Food World, Kinako Music. Maria, 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 Jama go to no vira mumberego, daeva unja zondo rambira ikoko. Kiwa bidike, na moya ju aigunike, aigunike. Na indaga ziko za munda ga kubira, sumu ya maiva mubaya zondi mirira. Na ikuna kuzo wano oka wakuchemera, sumu ya maiva mubaya zofa. Na indaga ziko za munda ga kubira, sumu ya maiva mubaya zondi mirira. Na ikuna kuzo wano oka wakuchemera, sumu ya maiva mubaya zofa.
That was Killa T with a song called Amai. Now to recap on today's top stories. The International Conference on AIDS and STIs in Africa 2015 started in Harare today at the International Conference Center. Side events are expected to be held concurrently with the meeting, with an outside event open to the public being held at Harare Gardens tomorrow. World leaders, including President Robert Mugabe, converge in Paris for a crucial climate change summit commissioned by the United Nations. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, November 29th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.